Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is perfection an achievable goal? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. Glad you could be with us as we are going to look at this very important topic. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And as we have been doing for the past several weeks, we are going through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. It is a book that Latter-day Saints have been encouraged to read and follow if they hope to achieve forgiveness in the next life. We are in chapter 15, and in our last broadcast, we were looking at the subheading titled Faith and Works, where Spencer Kimball cites Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But what does Kimball say about this? He precedes this verse by saying, "Some people, not of our church, like to quote, in support of that concept, the following words of Paul." And of course, the concept that he's trying to negate is this idea that you can simply be saved by having faith or grace, as he says, and not having any works that follow. So we're looking at this portion when on page 207, he says, "Church members are fortunate indeed to have scriptures brought forth in this age which clarify this and other doctrinal questions beyond all doubt." Now there, Eric, I've got to stop, because a lot of Latter-day Saints will say that the Book of Mormon, for instance, clarifies all of the, you know, questionable positions. But yet when we go through the Book of Mormon, as you and I have, we don't see a lot of clarification. We see a lot of confusion. In fact, I've often said when I read the Book of Mormon, I don't get the impression I'm reading a book about ancient Mormons. They sound more like confused Protestants.
Yep.
And when we look at some of these teachings that Mormons think clarify the position, of course, we don't agree with that at all. They seem to muddy the waters even more. This chapter tends to prove this. For instance, when he quotes 2 Nephi 25:23, right after this paragraph.
And it says, "For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God, for we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do."
Even that quotation from the Book of Mormon is not agreed upon in how it's to be understood by all Latter-day Saints. If you were to go back and look at some of the teachings of Mormon leaders, they would certainly say that this is a conditional verse, that if you want to receive the grace that purifies you of your sin, you must do all that you can do. In other words, there is effort that is involved in this. In fact, the True to the Faith Manual, which came out in 2004, it's not even a decade old, on page 77 says, "Our sins make us unclean and unfit to dwell in God's presence, and we need His grace to purify and perfect us after all we can do." On the same page, it says the phrase, "after all we can do," teaches that effort is required on our part to receive the fullness of the Lord's grace and be made worthy to dwell with Him. But yet, what do we find within Mormonism? We find this disparity between what is being taught out of Salt Lake City and primarily in general conference messages and in correlated manuals, as opposed to what we are finding in Provo coming out of the mouths of BYU professors who are trying to give the impression now that after all you can do really means in spite of all you can do. That's not really how Mormon leaders have taken it. It certainly is not the way Spencer Kimball is understanding this verse, because he's making it very clear, as he says just before quoting 2 Nephi 25:23 on page 207, he says one passage in the Book of Mormon, written perhaps with the same intent as Paul's statement above, and I don't understand that because he never really proves how Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is stressing obedience to commandments.
Right.
He doesn't do that. He doesn't exegete the passage.
No,
he just
not
basically
at all.
Blows it off by saying people not of our church like to quote it.
Yeah, and why would he say that when it's in the Bible and he kind of disses it without explaining why?
Yeah, and he goes on in this sentence to say, to stress and induce appreciation for the gracious gift of salvation offered on condition of obedience. That's not what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
Not by works.
No, not by works. In fact, very quickly, folks, we've done this before in a past broadcast, but I think we need to do it again. Ask your Mormon acquaintance, what kind of salvation was Paul talking about in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Because he says, for by grace are you saved. Now again, that word saved has a double meaning in Mormonism. It could mean general salvation, which means resurrection from the dead, or it can mean personal salvation, meaning exaltation or godhood in the next life. So ask your LDS friend, what is Paul talking about? Is he talking about general salvation, or is he talking about personal salvation, individual salvation? Neither one works. Neither Mormon definition works in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, because for by grace are you saved. If that's talking about resurrection from the dead, it would mean for by grace are you resurrected from the dead through faith. You don't need faith in Mormonism to be resurrected from the dead. Atheists are going to be resurrected from the dead.
Right.
Well, we believe that too. They're going to be resurrected unto judgment unless your sins are forgiven. But then it goes on and says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, wait a minute. If Paul was talking about exaltation, as we've been going along in this book, works are very much a part of being exalted in the next life. But yet Paul says it's not of works. So what was he talking about? Kimball doesn't explain.
Nope.
He doesn't explain. Why? Because the Mormon definition of salvation, being a perversion of the New Testament definition of salvation, does not fit Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We go on here. He says, however powerful the saving grace of Christ, it brings exaltation to no man who does not comply with the works of the gospel. So again, we see it emphasized that a person must have works in order to be exalted. Kimball doesn't hide this. He doesn't hide it at all. He emphasizes it over and over again. Now, we're going to look at page 208 under Repentant Life Seeks Perfection. Repent life seeks perfection.
Well, he calls this, the gospel is a program of action, of doing things. Man's immortality and eternal life are God's goals. He quotes Moses 139. Immortality has been accomplished by the Savior's sacrifice. Eternal life hangs in the balance, awaiting the works of men.
In other words, you can't just come to Christ in faith, believing he paid for all of your sins. That in Mormonism is not the formula. Eternal life, if you're a Latter-day Saint and you hope to have eternal life, it hangs in the balance awaiting your works. And then he goes on to say what?
And this next paragraph is a killer, I think, Bill. And I think we should spend the rest of the program talking about this progress, he writes, toward eternal life is a matter of achieving perfection. Living all the commandments guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation through that perfection, which comes by complying with the formula the Lord gave us. In his Sermon on the Mount, he made the command to all men, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's Matthew 5:48.
Can I stop you there?
Sure.
Because that passage is often brought up when Christians are trying to discuss the issue of grace with Latter-day Saints. Let me go back, though, to the beginning of this paragraph. This progress toward eternal life is a matter of achieving perfection. What is the one thing Mormons will often say when we hold them accountable to what their leaders have said? I'm not perfect. Or are you saying we have to be perfect? I'm not saying it. Your leaders are. Your leaders have said
that. And Spencer Kimball is right here.
Spencer Kimball makes it very clear at the end of this paragraph. But he says this, living all the commandments guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation. If you're talking to a Latter-day Saint and they do say that they do have the assurance that all their sins are forgiven, do what I do. I'll say, hey, that's great. So then I assume that if you have the assurance that all your sins are forgiven, that means that you must be living all the commandments.
And their response is, I'm trying, or
exactly.
I'm doing the best I can. Or they always come up with excuses and reasons why they're not.
Kimball says the only way a Latter-day Saint can have the assurance of forgiveness of sins is if they are living all the commandments. That's what guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation. So if a Latter-day Saint cannot say that they are living all the commandments, they cannot have the assurance of that forgiveness. He quotes Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." What's interesting about this is just not too long ago, a BYU professor actually gave a proper understanding, an exegesis of Matthew 5:48, explaining that this is not talking about sinless perfection. It's using a Greek word, teleos, which means to complete or mature, but Jesus was not implying that we must be sinlessly perfect. Who in the world can be as perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect if that's what Jesus was talking about?
And that professor brought that up because a lot of the students were having problems with that issue of perfection, and he was trying to tell them that's not what Matthew 5:48 is saying.
And then he concludes this paragraph on page 209, top part of the page. He says, "Being perfect means to triumph over sin." Now remember, he had just said that it's got to be in every area of your life. Every area of your life. So if you're going to be perfect, according to what Kimball thinks Jesus is saying in Matthew 5:48, that means that you have to triumph over sin in all areas of your life. And then he goes on to say, because of his misunderstanding of Matthew 5:48, says this is a mandate from the Lord. Okay, he is just and wise and kind. He would never require anything from his children which was not for their benefit and which was not attainable. Perfection, therefore, is an achievable goal.
Wow, that is a huge statement there.
He misunderstands Matthew 5:48. Then he tries to say that God is not going to give you anything which you cannot accomplish. It's not attainable.
And Latter-day Saint, I guess I think I would have to ask, are you doing it?
Are you doing it? See, this is all we have to do in a conversation, Christian, is merely have enough knowledge of what is required of the Mormon in order to achieve forgiveness, and then simply ask them, are they meeting the requirements that their church has laid down? If they are not meeting the requirement, they cannot possibly have the hope of eternal exaltation as they understand it. This is why we need to know what they believe.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.